The Apostle John was the only New Testament writer to call God by the name I Am. The great I Am is a fiery warning to you. Learn about this powerful God of real authority and how he experienced true freedom and joy. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The Apostle John is the only gospel writer to really discuss about the I Am. What is the I Am? What does it mean to you? The Jews knew a lot about the I Am, but they didn't know nearly as much when they came face to face with him. Then it was a different matter, and it shocked them. And then Christ spoke some words, and it shocked them even more with just one little sentence. And it was sobering to them, you can be sure. So it's a sober warning verse to really each one of us. It is for all of us, for anybody that believes in the New Testament, certainly. And it's vital to us. Notice what it says. John 8 and verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, and it says he, the translators put that there, but that should not have been put there because it obscures the meaning, really, rather than help you understand. It just should read, if you believe not that I am. That's it. But notice how sobering this scripture is, and it's certainly an essential verse to our salvation. So we have to be concerned about it. There is a fiery warning here that we need to understand deeply. So let me read that to you one more time, just to show you how serious it really is. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am. So what do you know and what do we know about I am? We have to understand this. It is a significant part of our salvation and something absolutely necessary for us to be saved by God. Notice John 18 and verse 5. John 18 and verse 5, it says, Christ asked these men whom they were seeking, and they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am. Now, this is covered very well in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. And Christ is just saying to them with all the authority you can imagine, in the government of God, that he wanted to explain to them about the I Am. Then he said, that's me. Now that was a real shocker when he said that. Verse 6, and here's what happened. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, what did they know about the I Am that made them fall backwards and fall to the ground? That's certainly stunning to think about it. Somebody reacting that way, so they had to know a lot about the I Am in the Old Testament or their Hebrew Bible. They had to know a lot about it. So he is, of course, the God of the Old Testament. And this was, he was talking to them just shortly before he was crucified. And they needed to understand this. So the Jews knew that this I Am was a God of authority, a God that really had made bold statements in the Hebrew Bible and also in the New Testament. So he ruled over Israel, and the Jews knew that and knew a lot about him and knew that he was the God of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. He was that God, and they knew that. And yet, when they came face to face with the I Am, they just couldn't accept that. It was really something that alarmed them immensely. But here we see that John is the only one that really discusses this. And he does tell you about and gets across to us even here in the New Testament about the authority of this I Am. And why would God be choosing that name for His Son, who was that I Am in the Hebrew Bible? So there's a lot here that we need to understand. In John 8 and verse 44, I want to read this to you in this context here. It says, in talking about Satan, "You are of your father the devil." He was talking to some Jews. "And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." This view of the I Am and what he taught was abhorrent to the devil. He hated that and rebelled against it when he was Lucifer. Then verse 58, it says, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him. And Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and he passed by." So here he was. They were throwing stones at him, trying to kill him because he said he was the I Am. Now, the I Am did everything that his father told him to do. Everything. And he taught whatever his father taught him, and that's it. So the I Am, not only, if you look at the scriptures, he not only just obeys God, but he does everything he can to please God, his father. Total perfection in obedience and love toward his father. Now, we need to understand this, because there is something about salvation where we need this truth. So let's get into a little action of the I Am in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament in Exodus 3 in verse 14. Notice what it says here. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Now that name, see, means I will be what I will be, or I eternally exist. If you look at the root words of that Hebrew word, it means this: he is what he wants to be. Of course, in the context of the Father's direction, he will do what he wills to do when and where he wants to. It also means I will be what I want to be. Of course, it was all in the context of obedience to the Father, but what God is saying here in these words is Jesus Christ, or the I Am, was perfectly obedient to his Father, perfectly obedient to him. And it just brought the utmost of excitement in his life. I mean, you couldn't get more out of life than this, that the I Am was getting from his Father, and God wants us to know what that kind of excitement that will bring in your life if you look to God the way the I Am did. It's going to make an enormous change in your life, in a better one, and a wonderful one. That is an absolute statement from God Himself. Let me repeat that. He is what He wants to be. He will do what He wills to do when and where He wants to. It also means, I will be what I want to be when I want to be it, how I want to be it. But let me read you something that I wrote along with that that really makes important to us to understand what this is all about. Here's what I wrote. John's purpose was to help to understand the pre-existence of Christ, the I Am who is eternal. And he talks about the I Am three times in the chapter alone. This is the God of the Old Testament who was very authoritative over Israel. He is the great Melchizedek who said, I will be whatever I want to be within the context of God's purpose and God's law and God's calling. He had all this excitement, but it was in the context of God's purpose and God's law and God's calling. It all obviously was very lawful. But Jesus Christ had all this power that God gave Him because He was perfect in obeying His Father. That's the I Am. And it brings excitement in our lives like you can't even imagine. That's what it's saying here. There's just a thrill and an inspiration that is hard to describe. And a wonderful, wonderful truth that fills you with joy and happiness. And I'll show you that later. But here, God is really explaining the kind of freedom that Christ had by obeying God perfectly. I mean, He had the kind of freedom that you can't even imagine unless you're totally perfect before God. And of course, nobody can be perfect the way Christ was because we are sinners and He was not. He never did sin. And the Father gives Him all this authority to rule over the earth and the universe and everything there is under the Father's direction. But look at what God gives that man and rewards him with. Because he was perfect toward his Father, and he came to this earth and taught exactly what the Father taught him. Everything he taught was what the Father taught. He tells us that. So, and he eternally exists. And as I said, there's another scripture that tells you he obeys and also pleases the Father, not just obeying Him, but pleasing Him. That is a kind of obedience that we really don't understand very well. And it's just the greatest example that we could possibly have on how to live and how to bring all of this excitement into our lives. Not phony fantasy, but the truth of God. Reality, real reality, not fantasy like you find in this world all the time. It's a world of fantasy. They're living in a world that is not God's. And it's a fake world, a fantasy world. And it brings a lot of suffering, which should not be here if we would listen to the I Am. The Jews rebelled, and so does the rest of the people in this world for the most part. So this kind of excitement really does bring a lot of joy and happiness that nobody else has to compare with unless they are just filled with that wonderful truth of God. But here you have, you just think about, it sounds like Christ was just bound. I mean, he did exactly what the Father taught him. But that just filled him with freedom of speech and all kinds of joy and happiness. Just to have this truth, this wonderful I am example for all of us to really follow in our lives. We need to follow that example. In Matthew 5 and verse 48, Christ told us to become perfect as our Father is perfect. Now, we can be perfect in attitude. And God expects us to battle for that always. That will bring glorious things into your life that you've never imagined. But here again, you see, Lucifer hated that. He hated it. In verse 42 of John 8, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." He sent me and I came here because He sent me and told me what to say. And, well, Lucifer, he didn't like that at all. And he began to have a real problem with that. And he has been a murderer from the beginning when Lucifer became Satan. A murderer from the beginning. And there's no truth in him. None. Just the opposite of the I am. We have to make sure we don't follow Satan the devil, who is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And he's just the opposite of the I am. And that's the being we have to overcome if we're going to enter into God's kingdom. He said in verse 28, "I do nothing of myself." Nothing of myself. It was all for His Father in the work of God. I mean, you just have to think about the kind of humility He had. He was humble unto death, it says in Philippians 2. And He was always there to do the Father's will. He said, "I can do nothing. I am nothing apart from God." That's what He was saying. "I can of my own self do nothing. But I can do everything and do it perfectly if I look to my Father." This is an amazing understanding that we need of the I am. God wants us to see and understand what it's like and try to get the understanding of what Jesus Christ enjoyed and what rewards God gave Him because He was perfect in doing whatever the Father said. You talk about government and unity and harmony, that's the way it was for all eternity until Lucifer rebelled. That's our history. He hated that, and Jesus Christ and the I Am, He went around saying that His Father was greater than He was. He was there always to talk about the greatness of His Father. Verse 33, I'll paraphrase it. It just says, "Because that you being a man make yourself God." That's what the Jews said of Christ. Well, you're making yourself a God. But He was God in the flesh. He was the I Am. And He is God too. That makes this all the more wonderful to see one great God, the Word, and the Son of God be totally obedient to His Father. It's about family, building God's family. And we need to understand about the I Am to really comprehend that the way God would like for us to. Notice what it says in John 10 and verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, you are gods?" Yeah, it certainly does. You go to Psalm 82 and you can find that, and being called gods. We have the potential to be God beings. That's God's whole plan, is recreating Himself in man. That's why we're here. And how many people know that and understand it? And oh, what a mind-staggering, wonderful future that is if we'll just fulfill our potential and not follow Satan the devil. That's where the problem really begins. And we'll go now to Psalm 82 and verse 5, and you can see here, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." All the foundations of the earth, they were out of course when this was written in the Psalm. Everything is collapsing in this world. You know why? Because we're not fulfilling our potential. We're rebelling against it in this world. We simply have to realize it means that all religions, politics, education, science, they have foundations that are out of course. We have to see that. By their fruits you shall know them. Look around. What's happening? This is what we have given to this world. Fruits that are horrifying. That's what we have to really see and understand. These are the foundations of the world. And that all has to be put on God's course. And that is critical that we do. Verse 6 of Psalm 82 says, "I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High," or sons of the Most High. See, you are gods. God is trying to get this across to us, and especially the I Am helps us to get that more fully into our minds. It is a future that, as Herbert Armstrong says, it's almost unbelievable, but it's true. That's how much God is building within man. Something very special about man. We're not animals. We're men with a spirit of man, and so that we can have the Holy Spirit attached to that and obey God and have the very mind of God, the very character of God. Genesis 1 and verse 26, we look like God and He wants us to build the character of God. So we have a lot to be thankful about here. Again, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am," then you have a very bleak future. And God wants us to please Him, to obey Him and please Him, and have perfect marriages and perfect families and real happiness that God wants all of us to have. Real happiness. John 13, verses 16 and 17 says, "If you do this and follow my example, you will be happy." Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The Apostle John was the only New Testament writer to call God by the name I Am. The great I Am is a fiery warning to you. Learn about this powerful God of real authority and how He experienced true freedom and joy. I Am is an Old Testament name for the God who later became Jesus Christ. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, John's Gospel, The Love of God, to understand the authoritative God known as I Am. I Am means I will be what I want to be, when I want to be it, how I want to be it. That sounds like a God who yields to no one. Yet this same God, your Savior Jesus Christ, submits perfectly to God the Father. Christ experiences true freedom by obeying his Father. So can you. Study John's Gospel, the love of God, to discover the deep humility of the I Am. Learn how to follow Christ's perfect example and receive a God-level reward just like Christ did. Unlock your awesome potential by obeying God the Father. Live the abundant life that God intends for all mankind to enjoy very soon. Also request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The God Family Vision, to grasp the stunning reason why a mighty God would willingly give up his power and die for mankind. Glimpse the eternal prehistory of two gods long before they became father and son. Open your eyes to the radiant hope of the true gospel message, the good news of the soon coming family of God to rule the entire universe. Prove that the God family will be comprised of human beings transformed into spirit-born sons of God. You will also receive a free copy of Gerald Fleury's booklet, The Last Hour. The truth about the God family is so wonderful, it's almost impossible to comprehend. What depth of love has been shown by God the Father and Christ the Son to invite human beings into their family? This is truly the ultimate love. Study The Last Hour to discover the precious spiritual gold that your future holds. Prove what you must do with this staggering God family vision. Receive the motivation and power to fight the forces of evil that oppose you each day. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request John's Gospel, The Love of God, The God Family Vision, and The Last Hour. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request John's Gospel, The Love of God, The God Family Vision, and The Last Hour. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.